We're looking today at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 22, and then we will read and study through the remainder of the chapter, which is verse 26. I want to begin by reading verses 22 and 23. This is where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to begin by reading just those two verses because there's something in the context that I want us to see. In verse 22, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now notice the contrast here with what Paul has been talking about in the verses before this. Going back to verse 17, notice that Paul shows that the Spirit and the flesh are opposites. The Spirit and the flesh, he says, are contrary to one another. And then in verses 19 through 21, he gives us the works of the flesh. Now notice how different these two ways of life are. We're talking about a life in the flesh versus, and in contrast to, a life in the Spirit. This is what Paul is describing here. Notice the difference. When people live a life in the flesh, it is all about me. A life in the flesh is a selfish attitude. And as you look at some of those works of the flesh, you'll see that selfishness. Things like jealousy and hate. It's all about earthly, sinful pleasures. This is what we read in verses 19 through 21 when he talks about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, when he talks about hatred and the contentions and the jealousy and the wrath and the strife and all these other things. That reflects a very selfish way of looking at oneself and the world. But in contrast to that, what we find in verse 22 is that the first thing that Paul mentions as being fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, love is just the opposite of a selfish attitude. He's already said in verse 13, by love, serve one another. Love is all about serving and helping other people. But living a life of the flesh is all about me and about selfishness. The other thing that you'll find in this contrast is that a life in the flesh brings turmoil. It brings contentions, strife, even killing. This is what he's just described up here in verses 19 through 21. A life in the flesh is nothing but a life of unhappiness and guilt and fear and anger. The Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. Isaiah 57, verse 21. Now, of course, yes, the Bible does say that there is some degree of earthly pleasure in sin. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. But there is also a lot of turmoil and unrest in that person's life. Now, contrast that kind of turmoil with what Paul describes in the Spirit in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When you live a life in the Spirit that is according to the will, the teaching of the Spirit that we find in the Bible, then you're going to have joy. You're going to have rest. You will have peace, and you will have contentment. So when you study the fruit of the Spirit, you appreciate what Paul says here even more when you put it in context and when you put these two different kinds of attitudes and lifestyles side by side. Now, let's look individually at the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentions in verse 22. The first one is no surprise. It is love. This is in contrast to hatred in verse 20. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, that even the greatest acts of service for other people are nothing unless a person has love. It is absolutely that important. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul said something that goes along with what he's saying here about love being the fruit of the Spirit when he said in Romans 5, verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the first fruit of the Spirit is love. The second one is joy. Now again, notice the contrast. Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's in contrast to the wrath and the wrangling that he talked about in those verses before. Now, Christian joy begins at the new birth. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing after he was baptized. The Philippian jailer rejoiced with all his house after they were baptized. Acts 16, verse 34. And this kind of joy has to be maintained. We have to, as Christians, look for things to be happy about, but more important than that, we have to remember what we have to be thankful for. As Christian people, we have the promise of heaven. We have the promise of eternal life. And when you think about maintaining that joy, remember the man who's writing this book, the Apostle Paul. Because Paul, in his troubles, said this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, Paul said, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And if you want to see a book where Paul was able to see the bright spot in the dark times in his life, and he was able to have joy even in the midst of adversity, read the book of Philippians. And then the third fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists is peace. Instead of fighting and division like you read about in those works of the flesh, the Holy Spirit brings peace. And this means, among other things, peace with God. Because when a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is forgiven of his sins. And because obeying the gospel means repenting of sins, that means that a person is no longer running from God and resisting his will. He has peace with God. And it also means that the person has peace with himself. A Christian has peace inside with himself because he is no longer fighting against his own conscience. There's no way for a person to have peace inside when he has a bad conscience. And then this also means peace with other people. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. So we have to pursue peace. We have to do our part to have peace with other people. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 18, as much as lies in you, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. The next fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Instead of being impatient and vindictive and angry, like the Bible talks about in those works of the flesh, we are to be long-suffering. Now, this means putting up with things that you'd rather not endure. It means being patient with things and with people that bother or irritate you. So be long-suffering with people that are different from you. Be long-suffering with people that have a different personality, with people that come from a different culture or background, and with people that differ from you in their opinions. The Bible says be long-suffering. And be long-suffering with people that make you mad, especially over little things and over things that they really don't intend to make you mad over. They really don't mean it. Be long-suffering with people. And remember that God is certainly long-suffering with us. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the next fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The American Standard Version and the New King James Version render this kindness. Now, again, see the contrast here with what he said in those works of the flesh, where he talks about hatred and variance and jealousy and wrath and strife. Instead, have kindness. And, of course, that comes from love. It's no wonder that he started out with love here, because when you look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is the source. Love is the wellspring of so many of these other virtues. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that love suffers long and is kind. And so kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. This means to be kind in word, and it means to be kind in deed. The Bible talks about a soft answer, and it talks about a harsh answer in Proverbs 15, verse 1. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 10. The next one is a very simple word, and that is goodness. Christians work at being good and doing good to other people. Now, obviously, no one is perfect at this. Only God is good in the pure and the highest sense of the word. Jesus said, no one is good but God, Matthew 19, verse 17. But the Bible also says, for instance, in Acts 11, verse 24, that Barnabas was a good man. So in that relative sense, it is right to say that a person is a good person, and so goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. And then the next fruit of the Spirit is faith. The American Standard Version and the New King James Version render this faithfulness. In Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more Word that we have in us, the more faith we will have in us. And as Christians, we'll continue to grow in faith. And as we grow in faith, we'll grow and continue in our faithfulness to God. Now, of course, again, this is in stark contrast to what you see in verses 19 through 21, because those things are signs of unfaithfulness. He says these things will keep us out of the kingdom of heaven. Now, in verse 23, we come to the last two fruit of the Spirit. The first one is meekness. The word meek is oftentimes misunderstood and misapplied. Meek in the Bible means to be gentle. In a general sense, that's the idea. Being a meek person does not necessarily mean that you have to be a quiet person. A person could be very quiet and be arrogant and not meek. Being meek doesn't mean that you never get mad and never raise your voice. Being meek does not mean that you allow people to run over you and never stand up for yourself. Being meek doesn't mean that you stay silent and that you never disagree with people, especially over things that concern right and wrong and that pertain to the Bible. We find two great examples of meek men in the Bible. One of them, Moses, was very meek. Above all the men of the face of the earth, he was meek. But Moses was not a weakling, and he certainly was not a coward. The other example is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. But Jesus is the same one that rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees and drove the money changers out of the temple. He certainly was not a weakling, and he was not a coward. It simply means to be gentle with people in a general sense of the word. The next word is temperance, that is, self-control. This means controlling your desires. It means controlling your temper. It means controlling your tongue. So when you get mad and want to get even, self-control keeps you in line. When you lose your temper and want to say something you shouldn't, self-control keeps you in check. When you don't like someone and you feel like saying something petty, self-control comes into play. When you're curious and you're tempted to get into somebody else's business, self-control is what is needed. When you see something on the internet that you shouldn't look at, self-control is the virtue that we need. When you see something on television that you shouldn't, we need self-control in our lives. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And Paul goes on to say, against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.